am so excited to be here this morning. I am going to start out a little bit differently than I normally do. If you are the first-time person being here at this church, I want to welcome you to Fireside. We are an extension of God's church. We are just at this location worshiping this morning. And I am going to start the sermon in the way that I always end it and say, I am glad you're here, but if the next 10 seconds is all that I have to speak to you, I'm going to tell you this. God loves you. He created this earth, created you. He sent his son here to die for you, to pay the fullness of your sin for you. And if there's anything else that you remember, please, please remember this. Jesus died for you as much as he did for me or anybody else. And I want to start with that this morning. There is no greater news than that. And that being said, we've got an awesome thing going on right now, and I want to add to what we've going on. The women are meeting, is it every other Sunday? Is today a meeting day? Today is a meeting day. I am going to kind of help get some excitement in, hopefully, for that women's study. One of our things that we really focus on here at Fireside or trying to get more focused on is discipleship. And if you would like to go through the book of Philippians and you are a female that would like to join in, and I'm sure they're not going to kick anybody out. So Chad, if you want in, just jump right on in there with them. Maybe, maybe not. Okay. Just sit in the corner and listen. Awesome study that they've got going on. And I'm going to try to add to that and encourage that because one of the best things that we can do is to grow closer to Christ together. Teach each other, build each other up, go in and gain more knowledge, because the more knowledge that you have, it's the more knowledge you can share. If you truly love somebody, and I say this all the time, if you truly love, let's say, your spouse, you want to be closer to them, you want to know them more, you want to be more engaged with them. So how much more should we want to learn about and know God, to learn and know about Jesus? And the best way for us to do that is to continue to pray for each other, to join together, to worship together, and to learn about him together. So we've got some awesome studies going on. That being said, I'm not going to touch every single verse in the book of Philippians, but for the next few weeks, I am going to go in there and try to get you guys excited to go out and proclaim the gospel and to join in to an awesome women's study that we've got. We've also got some need in some classes. We've got a bunch of kids that are showing up on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And if you truly want to know how to be patient in Christ, come in here and help us with some of these kids. It will definitely help build your patience up. But it will also be such a blessing. These kids grow in each and every week. You hear them tell stories. I may have been corrected once or twice when I've misspoke about stories that they've learned about because they're so engaged. I can almost guarantee you this morning that there is at least one little fella in here that will be probably drawing something that has to do with the study. If you don't think our kids are listening, you need to reevaluate. They listen to everything that we do, and what are we going to pour into them? They need us. That being said, Philippians, also known as the Book of Joy. So often when Paul writes, Paul is the author of Philippians, so often when he writes, he comes down with the hammer, and yet this is a little different idea here when he's coming in. He is talking about joy in this situation. Let me give you a little bit about the church of Philippi. Church at Philippi was known for going above and beyond. So whenever they went to go help the ones that were hurting, the ones that had less than, the homeless, the ones that didn't have spouses, the widows, that when they were going in, they went above and beyond what any normal church would do. So if a normal church was given 10%, this church would give at least 15%. That is how they worked. And Paul was so excited to see that. But even in that excitement, he was giving them some encouragement to make sure that they kept on keeping on, right? We also know that Paul in this situation, for the most part, we've got a few ideas. We know that Paul is imprisoned at this time. And then we know he was imprisoned in at least three different areas. Could have been in Ephesus, could have been Rome, could have been Caesarea, could have been in one of the three, but we know this was not the first time that he was imprisoned, and in such, more than likely would have been in Rome. And more than likely would have been somewhere around 62 AD. So get your mindset there, figure out where this is, figure out the situation. Could you imagine being imprisoned and not in the dungeon situation right here, not in a jail cell? More than likely, this was like a house arrest type situation. He was imprisoned, chained to a guard, and he had yet not done anything totally illegal yet, because Rome had not made Christianity illegal at this point. What he had done is just shaking things up too much. They were getting worried. They were making sure and controlling what he said. Give you another cool piece of information about the Philippian church. This is the first church in Europe, which is awesome. If you guys are into history, this is the first church that went into Europe. So here we have Paul. He is chained up. He is locked down in a place that the most of us would be just absolutely upset, tore up in Rome, not knowing what was going to come next. And yet he writes a letter of joy to another church. How difficult in our hardest times, in the times that we are locked down, in the times that we are held down, that we don't know what tomorrow brings. At this point in time, Paul's not 100% sure if tomorrow is the beheading or the release. He doesn't know if there's a beating coming on or if they're just going to let him go and he can go on proclaiming the gospel. He doesn't know what tomorrow brings, but he does know that Christ is with him. Do we know, even in our most difficult times, in the times that the world ties us down, do we know that through those chains, through those hard times, that Christ is still with us? We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 12. If you guys want to get your Bibles out and start turning there, I'm going to shake that up a little bit, and I'm going to pray, and you guys can either pray with me or be flipping your Bibles. You make that choice, whatever you want to do. But let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being with us. I ask that as we examine your words that you spoke through Paul, that you used his hands to write, Lord, that we take those words, that we implement it into our lives, that we are allowed to be in that same spirit or know that same spirit that Paul was in, that even in our hardest times, even in the times that we are chained down, bound down by the earth, by the human thing, that Lord, that we are free in you, that we are joyous in the hope that is you, that we are excited for what you are doing, and that we don't look for our current situation at our current situation, but we look for the future in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 12. As I said, gave you a little backstory. These are God's words written down through Paul's hands. It says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice because I know this will lead to my salvation. Through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by my life or by my death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. Paul is imprisoned here. He is tied up. Everything that's going on, and the first thing that he speaks about in verse 12 is that no matter all the hardships in our life, no matter the hardest things in his life, it doesn't matter if we're going through sickness, it doesn't matter if we're going through financial troubles, it doesn't matter if we are getting beat down at work for our beliefs, it doesn't matter if we are struggling in every way possible, if our neighbors don't want to be around us, if our spouse doesn't understand us, if our kids don't understand us, if we are in Christ, and no matter how hard we are being taken, the fact is, if we stand in Christ, it is advancing the gospel. Paul knows that in one of the hardest times of his life, he can find joy in his imprisonment because his imprisonment is proclaiming Jesus to the world. He's not there because he had too many speeding tickets on his horse. Or he's not there because he decided that he was going to burn down something or steal something. Or he wasn't there because he was late on some taxes. He wasn't there because of all of the things. He didn't go fight somebody or anything else. He is there because he has proclaimed Jesus. If you don't know where he's at, then you need to seek Christ out and realize that us as Christians, even though we may not have physical chains, this world will try to bind us down when we are truly in the presence of Christ and in the will of God. What does that mean for us? Means when we truly try to reach out to be a blessing through Jesus, that the world will tie us down. Yet Paul is physically tied down, and through his chains, he sees the gospel being proclaimed. Through his imprisonment, he sees the gospel being shared. You know exactly what I'm talking about here, because if you know anybody in the community that gets in a little bit of trouble, one of the things sadly that we do is we'll go on the internet. Anybody ever done this? You find out that somebody had a little bit of problem with the law, so you go online and you type in Roane County Sheriff's Office and you start looking for that person. And then when you find that person, you want to know everything that they did. Right, and you go through there, or maybe you go down to the local gas station and you see the Locked Up magazine. You got to pay that dollar because you're just interested to know what got somebody into that situation, right? And you get there and you say, "Oh man, can you believe this? Hey, I just saw Luke Hall in here. Look at this. Look at his mugshot. Look how good he looks right here. Look what he did. Oh man, look right there beside him. Right there beside him is Ralton." And look at that mugshot. Looks rough. Look at everything that he did. Let's share it. And I could imagine if they even had something like this, which they didn't at this point in time. The internet was not there at that point in time. But I could imagine them coming in and saying, man, did you see Paul locked up in there? And if they had that same magazine that we had or that same rap sheet, could you imagine putting yourself in Paul's shoes? So you see Brian Huffine on there. You've got him typed in and you look at him. And underneath it says all of his charges. And his charges were being faithful to God and proclaiming the gospel. And we just didn't like it. It changes our life too much. And yet everybody will talk about it, and you'll see Brian there in his imprisonment because he loves God. This is where Paul is. And even in his imprisonment is proclaiming the gospel. Where he is at is proclaiming the gospel. We talked this morning a little bit about Peter, and we're in Acts in our Sunday school class. And Peter, one of his things is says, I'm not even worthy to be crucified in the same way. Crucify me upside down. So as we get to that process, could you imagine walking by and seeing Peter crucified upside down and not talking about why? Even in the hardest point in his life where his life is being taken, he wants to stand out and not stand out for himself, but for people to say, why is he upside down? He's upside down because the Savior of the world died that way, and he wasn't worthy enough to die in the same manner. Let's talk about why he's hanging upside down. Let's talk about why the chains are binding us down. Let's talk about why our troubles can proclaim and glorify God. Paul understands God is more important than his physical life. God is being glorified through his troubles. So often we talk about people having these amazing testimonies, right? These amazing testimonies. And so often I hear different things like, this person was addicted to drugs and they came out of it. Or this person had been a part of, they lived as a prostitute for years and they came out of it. And so often people will say, oh man, I have this boring testimony. My parents raised me up in church. I grew up in church. I got saved at a young age and I've known nothing but Christ. What a blessing that is as well. The reason that we have all of these different testimonies is so that God can be glorified in every single situation there is. If there's somebody that has grown up in church and just doesn't really realize the purpose of their life, they can look upon others in the way that they loved God through their situation. If there are people that are in addiction that come into a relationship with Christ, there are people that can relate in the way that God loves them, even though and through that addiction, through whatever sin is in our life, whether it be prostitution or whatever it is, the worst things in this life, the hardest things in life, we can be glorifying God through those if our minds are in the right place, and Paul's mind is in the right place. Not only is he proclaiming to everybody out there, but he says later on, he says in verse 13, he says, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else, not only to the ones out there that are lost, that seem like they could just use some help, but the ones that are binding me down. He specifically talks about the soldiers, the imperial guard, the ones that have chained him down, the ones that are holding him hostage. So even they know, even our enemies know, that when they hold us down, they lift up the gospel. Even they know. He doesn't have a hatred. He has a love for the ones holding him down, because we know that the way that you can love somebody the most is proclaiming the gospel to them. He wants to share the gospel to the very chains that are binding him. Goes a little bit farther and says that everyone knows that I am in Christ. Most of my brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. See, one of the things that the world doesn't want is to share information that could help us. And I say this, and several years ago, there was a debate, and I've shared this story in a few different ways, but there was a debate between Ken Ham, does anybody know who Ken Ham is, and Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Do you guys know who that is? And these two gentlemen debated on pretty much creation versus everything else, on whether God was real or why he wasn't. It was a debate on, is the Bible accurate? Is Christianity accurate or is it not? And the world of non-believers so attacked Ken Ham, they did not want him to have this debate. Why is it that the world would not want somebody that could possibly come in and shut somebody down to have a debate? The reason is because you're giving more knowledge. You're sending it out there for people to understand for themselves if Christ is real or if he isn't, if God is the creator or if he isn't. And the fact that the gospel, that the knowledge of God is written into our DNA, written into who we are, when it is proclaimed, there has to be a part of us that acknowledges it. Whether we follow it or not is a different story, but we have to acknowledge that we are created by the creator of the universe. We have to acknowledge that there is something beyond us. And the world says, let's not even talk about it. Let's not even share it. Bill Nye, please don't even get up there and talk about it because you're giving credibility to what they're doing. Because you're taking the sheep and you're giving them something to actually study. Don't have them study. Please don't do this. We can't win. And the greatest thing is, as science grows, so does the knowledge and the truth of God. As knowledge grows, God becomes more evident. That's why we used to talk about evolution in school, and now we talk about a Big Bang theory. Because the Big Bang theory is the only thing that makes sense. We can't tell you other than boom, it happened. The only difference between a believer and a non-believer in the Big Bang theory and Christianity is, did God start it? Did God create us? Or was it just all left up to chance? And it makes no sense to think that a created world didn't have a creator. Don't have the debate. Don't have that situation the world tells us. Because if you do, people's eyes may be opened. People may have a realization that God really does love them. People may have the realization that God sent his son to die for them. So even in our hardest times and the times that the world is questioning every one of our actions, every one of our thoughts, every one of our beliefs, that the world is tying us down, it is shining more and more light into the fact that Christ is the Savior of the world. Paul's chains point to the cross. Our chains point to the cross. Our troubles, our hurt should point to the cross. He goes in a little bit more than here. So he talks about the actual imprisonment, but then he goes in a little bit deeper, right? And he starts getting, he kind of goes through what the world's doing, but then he goes in a little bit farther here and he goes into what other preachers or other leaders in the church are doing, and he's saying that there are people in the church that are becoming and proclaiming the gospel because they don't like, maybe they have envy for Paul in this situation. Maybe they don't like what he's saying, or maybe they see that there can be more power if they proclaim the gospel. They can see how people are laying their lives down for Christ and they want to be a part of it. Or maybe they don't like the way Paul is, so they're going to just push him out and try to proclaim it even harder. And I know the question is, what do you think about that preacher down the road? Or what do you think about that guy down the road? And Paul has something impressive that he says. He doesn't go off right off the bat. And don't take me wrong on this. When the false gospel is proclaimed, our job is to stand up and correct that false gospel. Our job is to proclaim the accurate gospel. However, Paul realizes the importance in it. He realizes in the ones that are even doing it for their own gain, for their own personal ideas, he realizes that still Christ is proclaimed. Still Jesus is being acknowledged. Still people are coming into a relationship with Jesus. He says this and goes in and says, "To sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from the false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice because I know this will lead to my salvation." Doesn't matter. What's the old saying says totally slipping my mind right now, but no matter what, if something's out there, whether it be good or bad, bad attention is still good, right? We still have that. So even if somebody is going out and proclaiming things that aren't entirely accurate, if they are a little bit different from what we think, even if they're for the purpose of trying to say, hey, I'm better than Paul, or we're better than that church, or you ought to believe in the way that I do, or you ought to use the exact same Bible translation that I do, or you ought to do this. Even in those times, even though their intentions are not good, even if the hard times that we're in are not good that they're trying to do, the fact is that people are still talking about it. And we have an opportunity to share the gospel out of love, not out of hatred. We have the ability to show God's purpose in our life and our freedom through Him, not the things that tie us down. We have the ability to proclaim the gospel in good light. Paul says, as long as you're still proclaiming it, keep proclaiming it in joy, in goodness, and in truth. Don't worry about those other guys. Just know that Jesus is still being talked to in the same way that when we talk to non-believers or wherever we talk to people, they're doing it for their own purpose, that the word Jesus Christ, those words that the Messiah is still being proclaimed. And as he goes just a little bit farther, he goes in and he talks about in the end, whatever happens, that whatever situation happens in his life, it doesn't really matter. It says, "My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body." In his physical body, whether he's beaten, tortured, taken down, imprisoned, whatever else, that somebody with every lash that he takes, with every cut, for every link of the chain that he has on him, that Christ will be honored, whether by life or by death, whether in me getting out of here and living for Christ and people see Christ through that, or if people see Christ through my death. It doesn't matter as long as Christ is seen. And one of the most powerful verses, something that we hear so often, Paul says in verse 21 here, it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me, my entire life is to live in Christ. And that no matter what, as long as I'm honoring Christ, my purpose in life is Jesus. To be here is to mean that I have to proclaim Jesus. To be here, if people see me, they have to see Jesus. For me to walk, they ought to see the steps that Jesus has laid out before me. For me to talk, they should hear the words of the gospel. For me to react, they should see godly reaction. But if I don't have the opportunity to take another step, if I don't have the opportunity to speak another word, if the only opportunity I have is to die for the purpose of the gospel, then I gain eternity with Christ, through Christ. How exciting would it be to have so much knowledge and faith in the Savior that it can say, it doesn't matter where my next step is. It doesn't matter what the guy down the row says. It doesn't matter what the preacher down the road or the deacon down the road thinks. It doesn't matter what the non-believer or textbook or anything that says that hinders, it doesn't matter how many chains they put on me. It doesn't matter even if they take my life. The question is, am I going to worship and proclaim the gospel of Jesus? In order to really proclaim and worship Jesus, we have to know who he is. We have to know that he is the Messiah. He was sent here by the creator of the universe. He was God's son sent here to die for us. The same way that I started the sermon, I want to end it. If today you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if the hard times don't point to Christ or into a way that he can be honored, that can change. All we have to do is give up everything that we are and allow our old selves to die, to repent for our sins, and for us to be reborn through Christ. See, our old ways lead to death. A new life in Christ leads to freedom, leads to grace, leads to life in eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for Paul and his words, Lord. I thank you for speaking through Paul. I ask that that today, as we go through all that all the things that this world has in store for us, Lord, whether they be good or bad, that we can honor Christ through those situations, Lord. I ask that you just be with us as we have this time of invitation and this time that we're going to be having communion, Lord. And I ask that as we do those things, that you are at the forefront of our thoughts and our actions. Lord, I ask that if anyone here does not know you and does not have that hope in you, that you pour your spirit into them, Lord. That you give them that desire to seek you, to change their lives. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.